Hasta que no estás aquí dentro no sabes la grandeza de este equipo. Sí, es un club que tiene una grandeza que no se comprende si no estás aquí dentro.
Siento una magia única, benfiquista. Só nós sentimos assim. Por muitos desgostos que possamos ter, valores mais altos se levantam. E o valor mais alto que se levanta em termos futebolísticos chama-se Benfica.
Quero o Benfica intimidar o adversário. Quero o manto sagrado entrar com vocês em qualquer estado e assustá-los, pá! É isso que eu quero!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast. This week, coming to you one day earlier than usual. I'm going to be out of town later. Well, not later, but tomorrow. So we'll figure we get this out of the way. With me, as always, Cristiano Oliveira. Como é que é, Cristiano Oliveira? Como é que estás, amigo?
Alfredinho.
Let us know how the sound is also, Freddy.
Yeah. Alfredinho, Champions League is upon us. We look forward to these games every single season. I know you can't tell by the sound of my voice, but ladies and gentlemen, take my word for it. But before you take my word for it, smash the like button, subscribe, all that good stuff, right? But yeah, Champions League football is back. I'm excited. Trubin got in that over the weekend. Got a lot to talk about this game. But yeah, excited to be back here. My boy Dave is back. He took off the week again last week. Guy's always off, Alfredo. You see that?
He said you guys got enough people to talk. You don't need another guy to talk. It's the forum, man. We got to give the voice to the Freddies. Why do you need me? That's what Dave said to me. I said, Dave, you're right.
Usually we take the international break off. So, you know, I had made plans. I went away on international break, as one does on international break. So, you know, can't keep
Dave. You agreed with me, right, David? Because this guy's calling me like he's on air. He's like, yo, you coming? I'm like, bro, it's international break. What do you mean you coming? So you align more with me than with him, right? To you, shock.
No, but I had mentioned we were going to do a forum, but you guys thought I was joking.
I mentioned I was going to the moon. I never actually did it. You know what I mean?
Hey, you never know. A couple of times, já foste lá e voltaste.
A couple of times.
Right? Dave, what's happening, my brother?
Nothing much, guys. Good to be back on this week. How the Freddy's doing? We still pointing arrows at Roger, or what's how's everyone feeling?
It's a mixed bag, Dave. We missed you here to be defending Roger. Well, we didn't attack him too much, but let me say
just
before we
up a little bit, eh?
Don't worry, Dave. I got plenty of ammo for today.
Dave, get ready, Dave.
Oh, strap on your seatbelt. It's coming.
Sharpen up your arguments, Dave. Let me just say hello to all the Freddies who have joined us. Bruno Teixeira, Bruno Gil Rodrigues, Bruno Barros, Diogo Reis. Who else we got here? Redman 21, DJ Natural Fire, Cristiano Oliveira, Alfredo Vomassas. Yeah, here we are. David de Oliveira, Tony Fig. Welcome.
Tony Fig.
I don't think I've ever seen Tony Fig here.
Either, me neither. Burvar's our producer. The guys, instead of being in the studio, he's home. Then he wants to get paid. He's on strike with them. With them, you know. The
oh yeah. He said he was going on strike, but that doesn't mean he's actually on strike. Anyway, we got a great show for you tonight. Packed show. We're going to recap the Vizela game. We're going to look ahead to Benfica's match day one against Red Bull Salzburg at Stade de Luz. And we'll also look ahead to Portimonense, which comes up this coming Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, if I wrote my notes right. Dave, Sunday, right? Sunday, 6 p.m.
Sunday.
And down Algarve. So welcome all the Freddies. Thank you for joining us, especially on an off day like today. Usually we're here on Tuesdays, as you guys all know. But today is Monday, but here we are. Let's get right into this Vizela game. Benfica traveled up north to play Vizela. I'll give you the lineup and we'll discuss the lineup. There's a couple things here that I wanted to ask Cristiano about and get a stake. Trubin was in goal. Ba, Silva, Otamendi and Auschnitz. Neves and Kokshu. Di Maria, João Mário, Rafa and Musa. Cristiano, I think all of us had been saying that Trubin was going to get a shot after the international break. And sure enough, what'd you think?
That's not what I think. It was the only thing. Look, it was good to see him. He had a beautiful long pass down the left side, and that was about it.
75-yard bomb.
Yeah, nice to see that he could do that. But, you know, obviously it's good when our goalkeepers don't get a lot of work. And so, I mean, really can't tell much from one game. But, yeah, it was good to see him get his cherry popped and obviously making his debut in a Benfica uniform ahead of a, you know, Champions League game couple days later. So yeah, it was good to see Antonio Trubin.
Yeah. Dave, any surprises for you in terms of this lineup when it came out?
No, we still have Arshness playing on the left side there, but Jurassic and the other guy there still aren't fit. So we know how Roger is with playing Arshness there. It's going to be interesting to see when those players are fit and healthy. If he still leaves that same lineup, then I might have to back down against the Roger defense. But at this point in time, this looks like the strongest 11 Benfica is going to field with the current injuries that they have.
Yeah. And for... Go ahead, Chris.
I don't know about that, Dave, but I'm not going to argue with you tonight.
This is Roger's strongest 11, okay? You can make the argument there for Neres.
I'm not even going to make that argument, but if Cabral's not part of your strongest lineup, then it was along with Jurassic's 14 and his 25, there's 40 million on the draft. I mean, puta amor de Deus, bro. I hope that's not the case. But
Cabral's, I know we just came back from an international break, but it's going to be tough for that guy to break in right away, coming in right at the end of the transfer market and not having the preseason. He's kind of in a tough spot, Cabral. Yeah. But
I hope that he, on the international break, he was doing plenty more laps and he cut on his picanha feijão preto.
No chance in Lisbon.
We'll get into the game. I have so much to say because obviously whatever he did or – whatever he did, obviously Roger Schmidt and his coaching staff didn't think it was enough during the international break. But yeah, we'll talk about that. Go to the parts of the game so then we could.
Yeah,
talk about
no, he gave the players 5 days of rest during the international break. One can make an argument that basically all of the squad or most of the squad was decimated by their trips to their respective international teams. You can make that argument. I think maybe it's a little bit too early to be giving players 5 days rest. But then again, I'm not the coach. I'm not the one that works with the players every day. So I wouldn't know whether or not they need rest or not. Maybe they do need rest. Maybe they reached a cycle, a physical and strengthening cycle, that they needed that rest. I don't know. Who knows? I'm always the guy that's going to give the benefit of the doubt. But let's get into the game.
I mean, come on! I didn't expect better from you, Alfred. I love you too much to allow you to go down that path. But they need rest. These guys after a month of playing, and I mean, what's going to happen in January, and February, and March? What are you going to give?
You
them
another
the
rest,
off?
International break.
Well, from now until December, it's going to be like a game every 3-4 days. So
November they stop again, Dave. November to have another.
Well, they stop in October and November, but in terms of when they're actually with the club, there's a game every 3-4 days going on. You know?
Yeah.
Just talked about Cabral needs to get in shape, and you're giving these guys 5 days off.
Hey, you know, maybe he was doing extra laps in the morning. I don't know. Before everybody woke up.
The intensity is totally different, man. These guys need the ball on their feet. And I understand, look, I'm not knocking Roger per se because I totally agree with you, Alfredo.
Not on this.
No, I totally do. I agree with you that it's kind of hard to have a full practice when the majority of your team is out on international break. So I'll give them a pass for that. I just didn't like your, well, the guys are tired. Like, no, man, fatigued already. No,
no,
it's hard for to feel the full practice, because if you guys think about, even Seychelles themselves have a lot of kids that get called up to the national teams. So, you know, you can absolutely make that argument. I'll understand it. I just don't buy the these guys needed a break.
No, I don't think they need a break. I don't think that they're exhausted. I think that maybe there's a cycle of training this early on that includes a lot of physical work, and maybe Roger felt that the players have been doing well up until this point and give them some rest. I don't know. Who knows?
The only guys that have been doing well up to this point, all got called up to the national team. Those guys
those guys need the rest.
Those ones that have been put in the shift, not these bums that stay behind. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. quick start by Benfica on the 9th minute. We were up 1-0. Musa off a Rafa assist, and Cristiano and I and Dave, we were going back and forth on the No, Dave, you weren't there, right?
I was in there.
Yeah.
I was working, but
silent.
I threw in a couple of jabs.
Cristiano was saying that Musa can't score a clean goal, that every goal is off somebody's knee or somebody's ass, somebody's back.
Prove me wrong.
Yeah. Not so far, no.
Even that one, he shot it, and if it doesn't take the deflection, it goes straight to the goalie. And then he gets a 3-0 on his plate on a platter, and he shoot. Come on. I mean, listen.
You got to give some credit to the keeper too, Chris.
That one I think was right at the keeper on that. That Chris is talking about.
Yeah, 1-0. Well, 1-0. Yeah, 1-0 by Musa off of the assist of Rafa, as I mentioned. In the 39th minute, the perfectly executed Di Maria free kick put Benfica up 2-0. And when we were all thinking of where our free kick tickers are going to come from, now that the specialist has gone to Germany, here we are. There's the answer, Vlatko Dimush. And look, I think you could look at that free kick and say, man, the goalie should have done better. It was going to his side. But I watched the replay from behind the goal, and you don't see the ball until the ball passes the wall. And if you're the goalkeeper, I don't know if you have a better angle than the camera. Obviously, the camera is a lower angle. But certainly, it's a well-hit free kick, and I don't think he sees it past the – he sees the ball too well. Chris, what'd you think?
Here's a question I got for you, Orfe. This is very important.
Very important.
So pay attention. Di Maria scored a free kick goal. Is he now a specialist?
Well, I think that he scored enough during his career. I don't think he's a specialist, but he's scored enough during his career.
The dude got I shouldn't say unlucky, because playing with Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi on your teams is not exactly unlucky. But he's playing with other guys that were taking free kicks. He never took free kicks. Right now, my man must have been liberated. He must feel like
he was like, what is this?
For the first time in his life, the guy's taking free kicks, bro. The dude's got to be ecstatic.
Rogers,
you have a stat on that. That's his 12th goal from the free kick spot. He scored 10
his
with
whole
PSG,
career?
One with, 12th all career, 10 with PSG, one with United, and one now with Benfica.
Dave, that's why we have you, man. You could go deep in these stats.
Notice no Real Madrid there.
Yeah.
And I like to know how many of those free kick ones were when Messi arrived at.
Yeah.
But still, 10 still impressive in like 3 years. That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a fisherman's league, but still not bad.
Roger said, Di Maria, you take it. And he's like, are you sure? Me? I never done this before. Anyway, it was good to it was good to see Benfica go up 2-0 against a Vizela team that really packed their defense. wasn't allowing Benfica to do much through the middle. Benfica had to go to the wings to do something. But I got to be honest with you, and I don't know if you guys want to get into Trubin already. I know we already spoke about him, but I almost feel, and maybe this is me that I'm overthinking it, right? But there was no hesitation in terms of defenders or other players to play the ball back to Trubin. Did you guys notice that, or was just me?
I wasn't keeping an eye on it, but I've seen that clip that's been going around where that play that Cristiano alluded to earlier, where he sends it down the left flank there and creates an opportunity, which is something we didn't see much of with Flaco Dimas. Usually whenever he tried passing the ball, it'd be going five rows deep into the stand. So already an improvement on that part with Trubin in net there.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was all that. I just think that it was the ease in which players look to him for a back pass. And I don't know, Cristiano, if you noticed that or not.
I didn't really, to be honest with you, I didn't really notice that much. I just, like, you even talk about that one play that they just mentioned. And correct me if I'm wrong, right? Because obviously, you know, my head's been playing tricks on me for a few years now, so my memory's shot a lot of the times. But on that one play, Bob passed him the ball back. Bob had no other play on that. It was just basically, like, pass the ball back to the goalkeeper. You had a guy behind him chasing him down for the loose ball, and he passed it back. So it's like, was that because he has confidence in the goalkeeper? You know, with the outlet. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
So, again, you might be right, Alfredo. If you've noticed that, I'll take your word for it. I wasn't really focusing in on that, to be brutally honest. So,
yeah, I don't know if anyone in the chat noticed that there was the players seemed more at ease in passing the ball back to Trubin. Look, it's just me. I got to be honest with you. When he hit that 75-yard bomb, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie.
What, you scared?
No, I wasn't.
You peed a little bit, right? Don't burrata like that. You peed a little bit. You were
excited. I got excited. I got a half chubby.
Not shit your pants. That's like when I see, you know, a ball passed back to Flaco Dimas.
It wasn't the right expression. What I meant to say is I wet my pants a little bit. I
got
to be
why
honest.
Why we only got 4 likes? I don't understand.
I don't know. We got 13 people watching, and we should have at least 13 likes. How many likes do we have?
We have
11.
We have Diogo Reyes saying, "Boys, buckle up for an entire season of Arsenal as a left back because Neves and Koksu are not sitting, nor should they be." I mean, unless you've never heard of Juan Bernat in your life. Yeah, you'd expect that. But if you've heard of Juan Bernat, you know when he's healthy, my man's playing.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to – it's going to have to be a coin flip between João Mário and Arsenal. And I think Arsenal is going to win that coin flip, guys. I don't know about you, but.
Hey, Chris, you don't think that Arsenal could steal Ba's position the way Ba's been playing?
That's another one. Ba's been horrendous. But I've been telling you guys that last year. And you guys all call me crazy on the podcast. Apparently, I'm too negative for some people, so I apologize. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I call it how I see it. And yeah, Ba's in trouble. Ba's not gotten any better. If anything, he's gone backwards. He's gone backwards. He's picked up some injuries, I understand, but he's been here long enough, and I expect a little bit more from him. And yeah, I mean, that's a good shout, Alfredo. Because right now, we joke around about this all the time here on the podcast. But sooner or later, we're going to see Arsenal as that goalkeeper. I mean, my man, he has to be on the field for Roger Schmidt. And so let's hope that Bob picks it up. But, yeah, if he doesn't, Roger Schmidt's definitely got a lot more trust in Arsenal than he does in João Vitor, to say the least.
Yeah, so Benfica goes into the half up 2-0, game completely under control. They were just dominating this Vizela team in the first half. Second half, we noticed that there was a drop-off from Benfica. Obviously, up to nothing with the Champions League on the horizon. Maybe the team tried to manage the game. Vizela would get one back on a extremely soft PK, I would think. I don't think Auschwitz tripped him. I think you saw the hand in the back, but I don't think there's enough intensity to push him down. From some replays that I've watched, it looked like the Vizela player tripped over himself. He tangled his legs and he fell down. I don't know.
Hold on.
He's lying.
You saw a replay? happens? You saw replays of that?
I saw the replays
not
that
live,
every
right? Not live, not during the game.
No, not you during the game. Happened. Not during the game.
I was going to say, what feed do you got, bro? I need that feed.
It was those clips that people put up on Twitter, man. Those ultra magnified clips that show every single detail.
Listen, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you really want to get down to business and talk about, because I was hoping you really didn't talk about that, but now that you are,
go ahead.
You want to get down to business. And you want to call a spade, where the hell is Benfica and their comunicados bashing that? Where are they? Where are they? That is an ab. Listen, is there a little? I mean, a minuscule touch. On the shoulder? You want to tell me you call a penalty because of the touch on the shoulder? Like, go ahead. But then don't cry when you see the replay of that João Mário Piqué a few weeks ago right outside of the box where the guy steps on top of his cleat. You cried about that one, that there was insufficient contact for a Piqué, but now you're going to say that there's enough for this? Bro, that is a joke. The dude tripped over his own feet.
Yeah.
And yet, Sport, which is a—bro, this is horrible. Okay? This is absolutely atrocious what goes on. I'm hoping that it's not the case, but I'm hoping it's just some sicko coincidence. Because if it is in fact true that these guys are trying to influence our opinion, the viewers of it, by hiding certain things, bro, it's not a road I want to go down as a football fan. I already know that Portuguese League is Mickey Mouse. I understand that there's corruption left there, but now it even affects into the TV. Producers to the production of a game, that is asinine. I hope that is not the case. And Benfica needs to come down with the hammer.
I agree with you, Chris. I agree with you that we should be on those comunicados from day one, calling everything out. Now, when you're unjustly beaten and there's doubtful or dubious referee calls, that's when you come out with the comunicados. Now it's too late. You got to be on it from the onset, calling spades a spades, like Cristiano likes to say. I agree with you. Just something for those of you that don't know, Sport TV is owned by Oliveira. I don't know his first name.
Antonio Oliveira
is one of the biggest shareholders of Porto. Now put the, you know, just think, let that sink in. And look, there's plenty of times where we've seen that when we need more replays, the replays aren't there to be shown. But Benfica games, there's always enough replays to show, enough angles. You know, whatever. But, I mean, it's been an ongoing situation.
You and I have sat here on this podcast in games against Porto where there's possible handballs in the box at the Dragão. I'll never forget. You've never seen a replay. And then the very next week, Benfica plays Braga and Pizzi goes score a PK and there's a fucking camera over his head. like, wait a minute. You're able to do that, but you can't show me a replay the week before. Not a single replay from a different angle was shown. So, I mean, we are not surprised that these TV angles and TV coverages and production are manipulated by a bit. But, dude, now it's getting to the point where
it's too like, obvious.
It's way too obvious.
It's way too obvious.
There's also the challenge on Otamendi, too, that we've seen a red card given as well. But in that chance or in that situation, Otamendi got the foul called against them too, and that didn't even go to VAR too, because that was a dangerous
right. Bro, that's another replay we didn't see.
No, you did. He got stepped on, and he got the foul call.
He got the foul call against him.
Bob got a red card at Boavista for doing the exact same thing.
No, Musa got the red card against Boavista. Bob got the red card against Braga last season for the same thing.
Right. Exactly.
But now Otamendi gets stepped on and he gets the foul call on him. Like, wait a minute. This is a joke, right?
But it's total joke.
Does anything surprise you at this point? I don't want to come out here and talk about the referee because I have a lot to say about Roger Schmidt and his decision making. But, dude, it's just there's somebody's calls. It's hysterical. It's like, come on, bro. Like, Sazakela killed it. É melhor rir para não chorar.
Yeah.
It's kind of like.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. So, I. following Vizela's goal, Roger Smith, who had Neres and Chiquinho ready to come in, decided to tell Neres go back on to warm up, and he brought Chiquinho in the 71st minute for Kökçü. And I got to be honest, Kökçü did look a little bit gassed. Obviously, international duty, what played for Turkey both games. But you know, I guess that wouldn't have been the move that you would have made.
What's that?
Chiquinho for Kökçü.
Come on, bro. At that time, but if he could give up a goal, it's got to be Tino. You got to clamp down the midfield. And then, like, you want to tell me Tino comes in and he doesn't play well and he has a bad performance? It's like, okay, but I understand this. But now Chiquinho, in a game like this where you got to hold on to the result on the road with 25 minutes to go in the game, this is what you're doing? I totally understand. And then if you really want me to add to it, I was not one of these guys that was against Roger Schmidt playing Di Maria and Otamendi from the start. If these guys pass the physical test and they're ready to go and they say they're willing to go, I'm okay with them starting, even though they just went to Santa Fe or whatever the hell it was, I forget, over there in Bolivia, and played in some crazy altitude. So I'm not one of those guys that would have benched them, but I am one of those guys that in the 60th minute, I would have had Di Maria out the game and I would have had Otamendi. And on top of it, you have reliable backups nowadays. It ain't like last season where we were struggling to find options. You have David Neres to put in for Di Maria if you want to keep things like for like, if you want to keep the system the same exact way. You have Moratu, who's ready to go for an Otamendi. Otamendi gets that ugly injury, you know he's going to be all swollen up today and tomorrow. The medical department is obviously working on this guy to get him fit to go on Wednesday. You leave him in the game for the rest of the game. Obviously, the adrenaline's still pumping, the intensity's still pumping, the players are. But once you cool down, you know that shit's going to be pain. I just don't understand. Like, what is Roger Schmidt doing? What is he waiting until the 86th minute to bring in Cabral? What are you really doing in 4 minutes to a player? That player should have been in minimum 17th minute. You trying to get this guy some confidence going into a very important competition, the Champions League, and you're giving this guy 4 minutes of game action? Like, Roger Schmidt is a guy that I was thrilled when Benfica hired him. I'm still not against keeping him here. Obviously, I'm still a fan, but I don't know about you guys. But I'm starting to get very concerned with his in-game managing. His in-game management is not what we would like. He did a terrible job last year of managing player playing time, managing the roster, okay? And he got crucified in the offseason. And he himself said, look, I could have done better. And maybe rotating players last year, but this just happened. And now you're a month and a half into the season, you're doing the identical thing. That is no longer a coincidence. And I go back to what I said a minute ago. Benfica this year has options. We're just begun the season. You can't give me Alfredo's speech that people are tired. God damn, you just started. You can't be tired. Roger Schmidt has to do a better job of getting players in. And then you don't want players' wives, which I don't think these guys should do it. But then you wonder why players' wives are criticizing Benfica coaching staff and these decisions on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. It's just, I don't understand what Roger's doing. And look, I'm not trying to bash the guy. I'm not trying to tell you I know more than Roger. But, dude, those are obvious things to me that Roger has to realize from the sideline. Alfredo, for years, and I revert back to this because it's a fact. I mean, can't lie. We've been doing this shit for so long that we got plenty of examples. For years, we sit here on the podcast like, wait, what the hell? Rui Bumbu Vitoria not seeing? I'm from my couch, I can see it. And now, bro, it's back to the same thing. From my couch, I can see that some of these moves need to be made. And Roger Schmidt just sitting there with his hands on his hips.
Yeah, no, and the funny thing is that in the post-conference, he recognized that the team dropped down, that the team dropped their intensity. As soon as you recognize that, you need to change that. You need to bring that intensity up, right? If you're able to recognize it and you're not doing anything about it and your moves are Chiquinho in the 71st and then you bring Cabral and Neres in the 86th minute, when Di Maria clearly, we noticed that he wasn't as sharp in the second half as a result of being fatigued. When you're fatigued, you're not as sharp. just because the fatigue plays a factor into it. But I still didn't understand why that substitution wasn't made earlier. And this has been a gripe, I think, with everyone about Roger Schmidt's substitution. You're perfectly right, Cristiano. His in-game management leaves a lot to desire. And while in past seasons we may have not had the options, you just mentioned viable, credible, good options to come in and refresh the squad and keep the team playing at the same level that we played against in the first half. We may have well scored the third and the fourth right in the beginning of the second half, and then you can manage, and then you could rest your players. But I don't know. I'm struggling with the in-game management, much like you, Cristiano. And then again, the last 10 minutes were as Benfiquistas were suffering because the game is close 2-1. Vizela was coming up, and Vizela was having some shots. As a matter of fact, I think one of their guys missed a clear opportunity to put the ball in the back of the net. And
shot it over, right? Yeah. Shot it over.
Yeah, he put it over, and it was just like, I don't like being uncomfortable like that.
Sergio Cicada says, Roger's still finding his 11. We just got our goalkeeper
here,
and they're not in preparing to start. Look, I understand those guys, and look, Sergio, you're right. Bernat's not ready. He's playing. He's adapting. Arsenal's a left back, and if Bernat's there, he plays. I get all that. And even now the goalkeeper's there. It's new, but look, once you put in a goalkeeper, it's right or die, right? But now, that is still not an excuse as to why he's not using the likes of the Viner.
Yeah,
he's not using the likes of Moratu. He's not using the likes of Cabral, who you just spent $25 million on. This guy needs to play. Bro, yeah. It's like you're in a position now with him and the Koksu that you can't have these guys be flops. You have to force these guys onto the field. Like, my man, sink, let's swim. But you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's not by giving guys 4 minutes in a match that is still very much alive. Bro, that's not going to do anything. I just don't understand what he's doing. There are options. Last year when Benfica in January picked up, what's his name, Getz, and then spent $25 million on Tankstad and Schaldrup and still didn't use those guys. Last year at this time, we had to live with what we had. Because our options with Yogo Gonçalves the options were very, very, very grim, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But now there is no excuse.
Yeah.
He's got very good players at his disposal, but yet he's sitting there like tiring the crap out of Di Maria, who now has a much bigger recovery ahead of him, rather than him emptying out the tank to 60%. Now he's only got to recharge 40% of the battery, as opposed to him going down to 30%. Now he's got to recharge 70% of the battery. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying to make some stupid comparison.
No, that's a good analogy.
But it's going to take now in 3 days, as opposed to recovering 40, he has to recover 70%. And then maybe he gets up to 90%, not at 100. Then he plays on Wednesday. Right? And now he's at 20%. And now he plays on Saturday. He's never going to get back to that 100. But it's going to take him a lot longer to get to that 100 where he needs to be. And I understand at this point in the season, and as the season progresses, no player is going to be at 100%. I get that. But we want players to be as close to 100% as possible. And this is why we all said, look, we love the Di Maria signing. And look, I keep talking about Di Maria because he is 36. And he is a guy that just played a game in Santa Fe or whatever the hell it's called. Okay, so therefore he's the perfect guy to use as an example. But when Benfica signed him, I think we were all in favor of his signing, of his arrival. But we all said at the same time as well, like Di Maria to come in and play 60 minutes and maybe not have to go to a Vizela, which well, I guess that's out the window because he already went to Vizela. But to keep him out of some of these, you know, these lesser pressure games, these lesser competitive games, to keep the guy fresh is the ideal situation because you have the likes of Neres. We thought we have Schaldrup. We have João Mari. We have other guys that, whether you like them or not, Roger Schmidt is going to play them. So why the hell not use these guys?
Yeah, yeah, Sergio, I don't know if I would completely agree with what you're saying. He's still looking for his 11. I think that he's still looking to finish up as 11. I think that he has
Alfredo, I'm sorry to cut you. I agree. I think he is looking for his 11. I think at the striker position, even though Musa scored goals, again, not convincing goals, like, okay, he's getting to him. But at some point, that luck is going to run out because it seems to only score when he aims at a knee. Because when he aims at the goal, he doesn't score. He's got to aim at a knee. And so, like, I think he still has some decisions to make. And believe it or not, I think from the board itself, they might be whispering in his ear, like, you might like Musa, but we just spent $25 million on this guy. Like, epa, no dá para tu dar um jeito. You know, it's kind of like, so I do understand he's probably still looking for his 11. And obviously, Jurasek getting hurt and some guys getting hurt, it's making his 11, him coming up with a decision to really come up with those guys, is making it a little bit more difficult than what he would have liked. And I'll grant you that. Right? Anybody that says that, I understand it. I'm not going to dispute that. My argument and what I'm disputing is, why the hell is he not making subs at 60 minutes? That's what I'm talking about, is in-game management. Because whether he starts so-and-so or so-and-so, which I may be a fan or not a fan, look, at the end of the day, we want these guys to perform. And if Musa keeps scoring goals off of people's ankles and knees, hey, man, as a fan, Alfredo, we just want the ball to entrar.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we're talking about player evaluation, that's where the conversation differs. But as a fan, bro, I don't care if the ball goes in off the referee. We want the game. We want the 3 points. But now Roger has to identify and realize that this team needs in-game management, needs substitute. Why are you making substitute in the 86th minute? I mean, what rest are you really giving a guy? 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Or now, because now you get the crazy Dave. How many minutes you get now? 22? Oh, my bad. That's Porto. But you do get a lot more minutes now of added on time. But still, man, it just makes no sense. There's no reason to be emptying out the tank right now early on when he's got plenty of options.
Yeah.
And I'll be quiet now. Don't talk, man. You haven't seen that in 2 hours.
Yeah, Diogo Reis is saying, but is it not troubling that you to you guys that if Di Maria is going to make something about sitting when he's gassed? I think that's just a narrative that the media has spun.
That's every player. What do you mean a player that's happy to get subbed off?
Right. But Di Maria has been around enough locker rooms and he's been around enough teams to understand the decisions that coaches made. And I think that when you have just played at 50,000-mile altitude and you got an important Champions League game that regardless of whether it's against Salzburg or against Inter, it's important to start with the right foot. If Di Maria comes out in the 60th minute, and he understands that this is to not only give him the rest, but to also have him at much better condition against Salzburg on Wednesday, I think Di Maria is smart enough to understand that. And I think this whole narrative of I don't like to be taken out, that's a whole... No player likes to be taken out, as Cristiano mentioned. But and what did you expect Di Maria to say? Oh, yeah, I love to get taken out. So, you know, I get an extra break. I could chill with my boys on the bench. Look, I think at the end of the day, if you're a player and you've been at it for a while, you understand the coach's decisions. And some of them are going to make a lot more sense than others. And I think this was a situation where Roger could have gone to the bench and used the options that he had, viable options, as I mentioned. Look, important thing, 3 points. Cristiano, did you have anything else to say about this game before Dave gives us the stats?
Let me see.
And what about you, Dave? Anything else?
I already gave the Di Maria stat, Moose's third goal, 5 games. That's about it.
Yep.
That's it?
That's it.
Third goal in 5 games.
You don't have... But the most important one that Benfiquistas are all gushing about. Dave.
What's that?
Come on, Stack.
Which one's that?
Don't you see we made his 50th appearance?
No, it's 50th. Then they posted a video. I saw that.
That is a stat. That's going to go in the Benfica Museum.
50 games. That's nothing. That's a season.
They presented him with the 50 shirt. What else? Let's see.
We had to keep an eye on that, remember? Because we thought that it was a little bit suspicious. They did it for Nedish when he was possibly on the way out. So at least they're being consistent this year in doing
you set that precedent.
50 celebrations.
Now you got to do it for everyone. including I didn't see one for Diego Gonçalves, did you? Diego Gonçalves.
I saw a video. Didn't they do a video for
50? 50 appearance?
Oh, no, no, I don't recall that.
No. No, I think that's something that you just started this season. Oh, okay. I don't remember any other player before that they did a 50. I know 100, but not 50.
Yeah. All right. Turning our attention now to the Champions League, Benfica will start their Champions League campaign this Wednesday against Red Bull Salzburg at Stade de Luz. And Dave, you got any stats on Salzburg? If you don't, I have plenty.
I've got some. It's
what do you
the
got?
First official meeting between both clubs here. Salzburg are currently first in the Austrian Bundesliga with 19 points from 6 wins and 1 draw to open up the season. They're the 10-time defending champions of Austria.
10 in a row?
10 in a row.
For this. 18 goals for, 4 against. And Cristiano, their coach, you know who their coach is?
I should know, right?
Your favorite former New York Red Bull coach.
Oh, he's back there?
Yeah, Gerhard Struber.
Since, that guy.
Since he did such
a... I'm thinking about...
Oh, you're talking about Jesse Marsh?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, he's back there? Dude, that Struber guy, I couldn't stand that guy. So
he's
actually awful. Gives me a little bit more confidence now heading into the game, knowing that that's the manager. That dude was atrocious, man.
Yeah, and in Red Bull Salzburg, they're known as a team that puts together young teams. Their average age is 22.3. The oldest player is a goalkeeper at 27 and a left back at 37. Everybody is 19 through 24, so a fairly young team here. 15 nationalities represented in this Red Bull Salzburg team. They have a market value of 206.5 million, according to Transfer Market. Benfica has 344.5. Pavlovic, 25 million, is their highest valued player. In the offseason, they picked up a bunch of young kids. Bidstrup, center and midfielder from Brentford. Terzic, left back from Fiorentina. Ratkov, center forward from FC TSC. Turco, center forward from Juventus. And Neto, center mid from Fortuna. Fortuna Sittard. Konate is their top scorer with 4 goals, followed by Keita with 3 goals. They like to play a 4-3-1-2 formation. And Cristiano, what do you expect? Young team, not a lot of names, household names, but I think this team, oftentimes they compete based on the team chemistry that they have.
Again, I said when the draw came out, they weren't going to be a pushover. I think that they're... a team that can obviously field some serious competition for Benfica. But I'm trying to think of what to say that I keep in the back of my mind. I keep thinking of Gerd Struber.
Sorry,
so,
man.
Like, I'm trying to think of positive things to say about them. But then with that coach in mind, like, man, I hope he has him playing like he had the Ribbles, because he was absolutely atrocious. So that'll be the slimmer of hope. But at the end of the day, no, seriously, they're going to be a team that is – this is what they're – at this – in this competition for. This is why they string their teams together, I should say, is to develop good young players so they could feed their father club, right, which is the Red Bull Leipzig. And they've had a good history in doing that. Just like Benfica's had a good history of developing players, they've done it as well. And so I expect a tough game, a little bit more confident, because I swear to God, I did not know that was the coach. I did not know. And that actually put me for a loop now. But, yeah, I mean, look, Benfica on paper should absolutely win this game. And it's going to be the easiest game of the six. Well, not the easiest, but the
second easiest. No, the second easiest. No, first easiest.
The easiest opponent of the two, of the three, I should say, in the Champions League group. But yeah, man. I just hope that Roger Schmidt figures things out. I hope Bernat is back. I don't think he will be back, but I hope that Bernat was back soon. It'd be nice to see him now. But Benfica has to absolutely go on the road, and they can't walk away from this game with anything less than 3 points. They have to. This game and these 3 points are going to go a long way into them possibly getting out of the group. So if they have aspirations of doing that, they have to win this game.
Yeah. From what I heard, Cristiano, just before I mentioned this that I was going to mention, according to Roger Schmidt or according to Ebola, Bernat, who else was, Gonzalo Guedes and Jurasek are already working with the rest of the team, Nouvel Vague. That's what I heard, or that's what I read. Let me situate, though, the fixtures here for the Champions League. It's going to be madness from now until the middle of December. We'll be Benfica playing a couple games a week. So we open up against Salzburg at Estádio Luz. Then we got Portimonense away. We got Porto at home. Then after Porto, we go to Inter. Then we have Estoril. Then we have Real Sociedad at Estádio Luz. Casa Pia, Arouca, Chaves. Then the reverse fixture on Real Sociedad. Following the Real Sociedad game, we have Sporting. Then after the Sporting game, which there's a gap there, we play Sporting on the 12th of November, and then we play Inter on the 29th of November. So there's a gap there. I don't know if there's a Taça de Portugal game or whatever it is. But
it's
I don't think
one of those Taça games. Taça de Portugal.
Yeah, or Taça de Liga, yeah. So
there's
got
probably an international break in there.
Yeah, there is.
You think so?
Yeah. But then, yeah, so they probably return back, and then there's either a League Cup or the Taça.
Yeah. Real Sociedad, Sporting, Inter. Then we have Moreirense, Farense, and we finish up on the 12th of December in Austria against Salzburg. So quite a busy...
Shout out to the league for getting their schedules out in time. Just for December there. I know usually we're waiting.
They already got
the... Before the next month, waiting for when these fixtures are going to be released. So leagues, we're seeing progression. Come on. We can't...
We
can't
already got
the
schedule
time.
All the way up to December, Dave? I know that
all
we got
the... All
the way
to December.
Yeah? When are we playing Sporting? What day does it... You know?
Up until the 29th.
29th
Sporting...
of...
Sporting, we're playing on the 12th.
Yeah, on the 12th. Okay,
yeah, we got
so that's
all the way
confirmed.
Up to the 29th against Famalicão. So
yeah.
They're on the ball this year.
I know that the game against Porto, we're playing that game on Friday. Obviously, Porto and Benfica both involved in Champions League play. They will play that game early, so they will allow them plenty of time to rest, to get set up for match day two, I should say. In the Champions League. What else? No, I'm intrigued by this Salzburg team, but I was like you, Cristiano. When I saw that Gerhard Struber was the coach, I was like, oh, okay, that's okay. Because you never know what these Austrian teams, what they're capable of. Obviously, the Austrian League is what it is. And it's basically, as Dave mentioned, a one-horse race, which Salzburg 10 defending champion, is that what it is? 10-time defending champion?
Yep.
You know, so, you know, but I'm always intrigued. I'm intrigued because a lot of these teams that are ranked lower, they know they're going into this competition. The pressure's not on them. They got nothing to lose. So they'll go and play their heart out. And, I mean, we saw the run that Jesse Marsh had a few seasons ago in the group stage. I don't think he got out of the group stage if I recall correctly, but you know he gave hard games to a tough game that they were inserted in, and this is what I'm expecting from Red Bull Salzburg also on Wednesday. What else? Anything else? So can we move on? We will preview Inter and Real Sociedad when the time does in fact come to preview them. But next up is Portimonense. We will travel down to the Algarve following our European night to play Portimonense. What's Portimonense up to, Dave?
This season, they've opened up the season with 1 win, 2 draws, and 2 losses. So 5 points. They just picked up their first win this past weekend against Guimarães there. So historically, 39 wins. 9 draws, 2 losses. The last 10 against Portimonense, 7 wins, 1 draw, and 2 losses.
Yeah, they just came off a win. They beat Guimarães, as you mentioned. Paul Sergio is the coach. Sunday, 6 p.m. In down Algarve. So it should be an interesting game. And let's hope that there's no hangover from European nights for Benfica, because we've had seasons where we haven't played all that well after our European match clash. But I do expect for Benfica to win this game easily against Portimonense. 13th place. One win, two
ties. You never know with these guys. These guys always have some extra motivation there with their guys up north. So never ten on paper you would think it's easy, but there's always that extra motivation that these guys play against us. So
yeah,
hopefully no funny business.
Yeah, without a doubt. They have, I was looking at their roster, and the majority of their players, I think like 15 players are Brazilian players. Of course, there's that there's that tie with Portimonense, and you know, some I think, I don't know if they're, I don't know if you know this, Cristiano, if they're owned by, they have a Brazilian owner, or there's a company that owns them, or there's a conglomerate, I don't know, I forget what it is, but they have ties, they have strong ties to a company in Brazil, and that's why so many Brazilian players are playing there. What else we got? Cristiano still with us?
Yeah, I'm just enjoying the podcast.
Enjoying the podcast.
I smashed the like button.
That's right. What else? Dave, what'd you think of Roger Schmidt? Your defender, Roger Schmidt, what'd you think of his in-game management?
It's becoming harder and harder, but the only reason why I'd rather not put all the attention towards pointing the arrows at Roger is it's like, I don't want another. I already told you guys off the air. I don't want another season of "It Is What It Is" to come and take over the season. So, let the season play out. Porto and other teams have their own issues that I think are much bigger than ours. So, we can't start turning on our coach just yet and creating fires where there isn't a necessity for fires to be created. So, that's my whole issue on why I've been sticking up for Roger, because I just don't feel like there's a fire that needs to be there just yet, when we have other teams that have much bigger problems than us at this stage of the season.
Yeah. Wizdro says we need to have fate. Last year we finished above Juventus and PSG. I don't think we lack the fate. I think that we just have to, we can't really downplay this group. That's what I think. What else?
We've seen in the past when we downplay it, the groups, that's when we have the most trouble. And then when we're not favored to qualify, that's when we end up shocking the world, if you want to call it that. But yeah, we sometimes play down to our opponents and then play up to our opponents too. So hopefully, we want to talk about Roger. Hopefully we got Roger getting these guys up and ready for these so-called smaller teams in our group, but these are where you have to make your points.
Yeah, Bruno Teixeira says Real Sociedad was kicking Real Madrid in the ass in the Bernabeu this weekend. Yep, and then they lost. Manny Valadon says an Inter whooped on Milan. Yeah, there's definitely a, especially this early on in the season, I think that Inter is emerging as, and I know it's still early, but as the front runner for the Calcio. What else we got here? Brun Barouge. I don't want to read any comments by him. Diogo Reis says, by the way, boys, Martin Net had himself a game for Gil Vicente. I didn't watch. Manny Valadão says the other two teams in the group scored some big wins this weekend against big teams. Yeah, I don't think Real Sociedad won. I think that Real Sociedad was winning, and
they were winning, and then they lost 2-1.
Real came back on them.
That's correct.
Let's see what else. Yeah, that's about it, man. That's all we got. Thank you. You guys have anything else to say? I just feel like we're leaving without mentioning something, for some reason. It's one of those things when you leave the house and you think you forgot something. ladies, Benfica ladies Supertaça. I think that was last year ago. Last week. So, but yeah, we're here. Next week we'll be back. We will break down this the Salzburg game, break down the Portimonense game, and we'll look ahead to Benfica's following game. Take care, everyone. Thanks for joining us this early in the season. It's too late. I need to go to bed. This early in a week. Thank you, everybody. Cristiano, always a pleasure. Dave, awesome, bro. See you later.